this morning, Heavenly Father. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. My house will be called a house of prayer. And this morning we pray to You. We trust in You with all of our hearts. This morning, God, we thank You for the words that were shared last week by Mike on life and death. We thank You, Lord, for the words of restoration and healing that Dave shared 2 weeks ago. Thank You for the good word in this church. We thank You for these men who stepped up to preach Your word. Lord, at this altar, there are hearts that are lifting up prayer requests. We pray for Mary and the loss of her aunt. We ask God for Your comfort for this family. Heavenly Father, would You anoint them and surround them by Your Spirit? God, have Your will to be done in their life. Give them hope and assurance that You're with them. God, today we pray for Kevin, a young man who's battling some serious sicknesses. And we ask Heavenly Father that You would touch his body. You touch his mind. God, You are the healer. You're the one that we're crying out to. And so we lift him up before Your throne. And we ask for his healing, that You might be glorified. God, for all the prayer requests and the physical needs, we pray for those. We lift them up to You this morning. But God, spiritually we come to You, especially as believers. God, we live in a world, and even in the church, that seems to forgive sinners so easily. We bring them in no matter what they've done. But when it comes to Christians, boy, they better not make a mistake or we'll show them something. God, let the church embrace one another. Let Your grace be grace. How can we forgive sinners that You reach out so quickly to? And yet when believers mess up, it seems like they get judged so quickly. God, let them find the same grace and forgiveness. You love us completely. You died not just for our past, but for our present and our future as well. You've forgiven us. You've set us free from all of those things. Lord, when the devil reminds us we're not worthy, may the blood of Christ and the cross remind us, yeah, we're not worthy, but He is worthy. And because of what He has done, I am a child of God. And nothing will change that. Let us walk in confidence in the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, not in the hope of ourselves. Lord, I love You today, and I thank You for Your grace, for the hearts that were changed over the last couple weeks, for those that are going to celebrate with baptism next week. God, what a celebration that's going to be. We love You today. God, You hear every heart. You know our thoughts even before they're on our mind. And so, God, hear our prayers. We lift them to You. For our families, we pray salvation. We thank You, God, for answered prayer. Thank You that our prayers are lifted to Your very throne. Jesus, for Your intercession, even now at this very moment, I don't see You sitting down. I see You pleading on our behalf before Your Father. And I thank You for that. Today, we give You thanks. We thank You for this great nation of ours, and we ask for Your help. God, we need Your help. We prayed for an end to this oil spill in the Gulf, and I believe, God, by Your wisdom, we say thank You. We pray for an end to these wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and just ahead of time, we want to say thank You. Protect our men and women who serve. Keep them safe. Thank You for the freedoms that we have today, the safety of this nation. You are a great God. And if no one else in this government will cry out to You, let it be known at 1661 North Range Road, we cry out to You on behalf of this nation. God, heal our land. Restore us. Revive us. Bring Your Spirit back into this nation once again. We are not beyond You. You are a great and mighty God. And the nation who fears the Lord, they will be blessed. And so we cry out to You for this nation. We pray for our president and our Congress. We ask for their wisdom, Your wisdom in their lives. Forgive them of any wrongdoing and give them wisdom. We intercede on their behalf. We love You today and we thank You, God, for all that You're doing in our lives. Please invite us this morning to the mountain. We want to see You high and lifted up. May we be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, we're going to invite our ushers to continue our worship and our tithes and our offerings. We invite you, if you're a part of Grace, to join us in this time of worship in our giving. If you're a visitor, you're welcome just to be a visitor. It's okay. This is how we keep Grace, as far as meeting in this building. And so we're going to invite them. And we have a video of Show Me Your Glory. This was our theme song. And we'll just reflect on this before I share for a couple minutes. It's on the flash drive. Do we have that? Okay, let's invite the ushers forward. Heavenly Father, for these gifts that we're about to lift up to You, may You bless them and use them for Your glory. We thank You, Lord, that even in the summer, even in the heat, in the desert, Father, we find the manna. We find Your goodness and Your grace. We pray that You would bless these offerings, multiply them, Heavenly Father. Use them for Your kingdom, that we as a people might impact this community for Your good. We want to make a difference, and so we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. I first met a guy by the name of Steve here in Port Huron. Somebody introduced me to him, and he was an older gentleman. He'd retired here and had quite a bit of money, lived on the lake in a beautiful million-dollar home. And I got to know him a little bit, and I started sharing about Jesus with him. Steve didn't really warm up to the story of Jesus. He said, "I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God." And so we would talk quite often. And I got to hear his story. He worked for NASA in California, and what he did was not necessarily the space program. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but he developed weapons for the military through NASA. In fact, he began describing some of the weapons. He's a genius, and he began describing some things that I'd never heard of. He said, "No, you haven't heard of these things. Most people haven't." And he began describing some incredible things that now, years later, we're actually seeing. And we got to know each other, and I invited him one day. I said, "Listen, we're doing a youth camp in Wyoming. We're going to a dude ranch. I'd like to invite you and your girlfriend, whom he was living with, a nice young lady, to go with us." And he said, "Okay, we'll drive out ourselves, though. We'll meet you there." And I thought, he's not showing up. He ended up showing up. And before the week was over, this atheist, genius man that didn't want to have anything to do with God told me this: "I now not only believe in God, but I've given my heart to Him, and I'm going to follow Him with my life." Steve, something happened in Steve's life, something powerful. What causes someone to say, "I don't even believe in God," to, "I believe in God, and I'm going to follow Him"? He saw something. What happened to Thomas? Thomas, whose Savior was dead. He had seen Him crucified. He'd seen Him buried. He'd seen the seal over His tomb. And something happened to Thomas. Something happened to Thomas. We know it because whatever happened to Thomas changed his entire outlook on life. Did he really see Jesus in His glory? Well, what difference is there? Here's this guy hiding out from the Romans. He's hiding out from the Pharisees. Everything in his life changes. Thomas is known as Doubting Thomas. Stop being a Doubting Thomas. What a famous name to have in your life. A negative thought about your faith. And the whole world knows it. And yet, a lot of people don't know this. Whatever happened in that room that day would change his life forever. Thomas didn't live the same. Thomas went on to be a missionary. Thomas went on to share in Persia and Parthia and also in India. He was the one that helped build the palace in India and created with it the founding of Christianity in all of India. That's what Thomas did. Something happened to Thomas in that room. He saw something. And I want to let you know, he saw Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead in His glory. And if you see Jesus Christ raised from the dead, you will never be the same, no matter who you are. Thomas ended up following Christ, and the history tells us that he was believed to be buried in Edessa, and he was thought to have been killed with a spear. He was thrust through in the four members of his body with a pine spear in Kalami in the city of India, and he was buried right there. What causes a man at some point to someone stand and say, "You deny this whole faith thing. You know it's not real. You know he's dead. Why in the world are you following this false prophet, dead man?" Thomas saw the glory of God, and he would never be the same again. And as they took a spear and began running it through different parts of his body, they said, "Deny him." And Thomas stood and took every single blow of that spear because he knew something. He was about to be raised with Christ in the glory. You see, when you get to the mountaintop and you've seen God, you can't come back to the valley and be the same. Our students and our adults who went on this trip, and it wasn't just the kids. Everyone who went got to see the glory of God in some way or another. We went to the mountaintop. We got to see the top. Now, climbing this mountain was not easy. We got to this place. It was a beautiful day. They said it was going to be the hottest day of the week, 90 degrees. We got to the base camp, and I said, "I'm going to give you an extra half hour." Normally, it's 2 hours. Wherever you're at, you have to turn around. Something will happen. We need that 2 hours coming back down the mountain. It's 5 miles. Imagine just going for a walk for 5 miles. Now increase that at a nice steep grade and put rocks and creeks in the way. And take away about 60% of your oxygen. Now you understand where we were at 10,000 feet elevation. And as everybody made their way, it was great. You saw people take off running. You saw people hiking. You saw people just kind of crawling. We hit 2 miles in a half an hour, and I said, this is going to be easy. My group hit 2 miles. And I say my group. I didn't have a group. We had a rule. You had to hike with somebody. You had to have a partner. That was rule number one. And rule number two, in 2.5 hours, you have to turn around. Well, I broke rule number one. That's because only because as I was hiking and I hit 2 miles, there was a group of people with me. And as I hit 2.5 miles, I was doing about every 75 steps and stopping and sitting because I couldn't keep going. And I'm thinking, I am not climbing this mountain today. And my group just kind of went on. And another group came and I joined them for 75 feet. And they went on. And another group came, and I joined them for 75 feet. This kept happening to me. And I said, I'm going to keep doing this. I finally, after almost 2 hours, saw the 4-mile marker. I was in more pain and agony than I've been in my life in a long, long time. Every muscle hurt. I was seeing spots. I had altitude sickness, the oxygen. You start seeing spots, and I tried to look at some of the views to enjoy it, and it was blackness. And I said, okay, I just got to sit for a minute, get my oxygen back, clear it up. Yep, there we go. Oh, it's a beautiful view. This is where I'm stopping. And along came Jim and Lori. And Jim and Lori would come along, and I heard Jim say, come on, dear, let's go. She goes, I think this is good. I thought, this is a group I could join. And they kept going. They're like, come on, Pastor, you're going with us. And on we went, and we kept going. We got up to about 4.5 miles, and we were just about out of time. And I said, honestly, guys, I am done. There is no way. My left calf is now cramping. My right hamstring hurts. My head hurts. And I'm thinking, there's no way I'm making it to the top of this mountain. I can't hardly see the tower. And as we're looking through the trees, you could kind of see this ranger tower at the top where they have a helicopter landing pad for people like me. And I'm thinking, there's no way. If I get up there, I don't even know how I'm going to get back down. And I know it gets steeper at 1/4 mile. And the rock is just absolutely loose. It is the worst 1/4 mile of your life. Trust me. And the kids are all going, yep, those who made it know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not going to go any further. And he's like, come on, Pastor, let's go. And he kept saying that. Come on, Pastor, let's go. And that voice, that encouragement to put courage into kept me going. I'm sure there was a point where Thomas said, it's dark and it's doubtful. I can't go on, guys. And I'm sure they're saying, come on, Thomas. Come on, Thomas. You can do this. Jesus is waiting for you. I just want to see Jesus. And I just wanted to see His glory on the top of that mountain. 3 years ago when we were there, I couldn't. I was in crutches. I had a broken bone, a torn MCL, and I wasn't supposed to do anything. And I didn't see it. And the time before that, I didn't make it to the top. It's been years since I've seen the top of that mountain. I thought, there's no way. And at about 4.5-ish miles, I don't know, it's not marked real well, I said, that's it, I'm done. I sat down, and Jim and Lori kind of went on. They were up the path about 70 yards, 80 yards. And I saw them, and I thought, they're going to make it, and I'm not. I wish I could go up there. My boys are up there. I would love to be on the top of the mountain with my boys and share God's glory with my boys. That would be awesome. But God, not this time. My wife is down the mountain. My 9-year-old's down the mountain. You know what? They got somewhere. I got here. This is great. What an incredible view. And then I heard it. You could hear the voices of those who were on the top. Come on! Yeah! Another person had made it. And they were screaming. And those voices, I kept hearing them, and I thought, I've got to be close. And I think about the host of heaven, and I think about the church. We ought to be the voices to those who are saying, I quit, I give up, I can't do this Christianity, I just can't go on another step, this is too hard. And you hear the voices of the church rising up. You hear the songs of the saints singing out, Come on, show me your glory. Come on, you can do it, Pastor. And as I heard those voices, I got up and Jim said, come on. And we started and kept going. And I mean, I'm taking about 10 steps and stopping. I hurt in every part of my body. I think I can't take one more step. And then it happens. The moment takes place and it happens. I look and there's the top. And I've got that last little bit. And I thought, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't get up that last little bit. And down comes Jeff. And Jeff comes running down with his brother Josh. And these two young men come running down the mountain. And they did what they had done so many times before. They grabbed a hold of me on both arms. They put me around their shoulders. And they said, you're going to the top. I said, I can't take another step. They said, we're going to carry you. They carried me to the top of the mountain. And I could hear the voices, everybody screaming and cheering. And I got up there in this overwhelming sensation. And I looked in a panoramic 360 from the top of this mountain. And they say you can see 5 states. It's an incredible, incredible view. There's another video clip that has the mountain. He's going to cue this up here at the 2-minute mark, Bob. And I watched at the top of that mountain as I got up there. I'm enjoying God's glory and just amazed by it. And I'm watching Jeff and his brother. And they're going back and forth. And they're going down and they're grabbing people. And they're bringing them up that last little bit. And they keep taking them over and over and over again. And it's the most incredible thing, watching this happen. God is moving. And then there it was. I looked down and there was my daughter. A quarter of a mile, or not even a quarter of a mile away, just maybe a few hundred yards. And I saw her come around the corner, 9 years old. And I'm cheering. I thought, how did my 9-year-old get to the top of this mountain? I'm dying, and she's at the top of the mountain. The next thing I know, these guys run down. Somebody throws her on their back and carries her up the mountain. And at that point, around the corner comes my wife. And it just kept going. One person after the other. And these guys kept going back and forth. And I thought, is this the glory of God standing on this mountain and looking at the view? Or is this the glory of God watching two young men carrying people that can't go on another step to the top of the mountain? Isn't that the church, the glory of God? When we grab one another and someone says, I can't go on. I'm hurting. In my life, things just fell apart. And someone says, come on. And they throw your arm around their shoulders and say, you're not walking this alone. You can get to the top. Isn't that the glory of God? How many of you have had someone in your life grab you and take you to the top to see God's glory? Can I see your hands? Be a witness. There you go. Look around. It's been incredible. God's glory in our lives. And then something amazing took place. We started going down the mountain and I told Jeff, who flew in from Florida, to be a part of this camp. And I said, Jeff, can you stay behind as we enjoy the video? Have you got that clip? Converting it? All right. What happened was, I said, would you stay with me? We're going to make sure everybody gets down this mountain. We'll just be in the backside of this, making sure everybody's down. And we started going down the mountain, and for the first mile, we began talking. His mom asked me just to talk with him. We had a great conversation. We got to know each other. The first few days, pretty quiet. But the last couple days, he just started warming up. And as we started coming down that mountain, he and I walked and we had a great conversation. And we came upon a young lady, Ashley, who was sitting there. I said, you okay? I think I broke my ankle. We're at the 4-mile mark on this mountain and we're it. And I said, you think you broke your ankle? She said, yeah. Jeff, who goes all of maybe 140 pounds, maybe, soaking wet, who's a runner. God always puts the right people in the right place. This young man was one of the top runners. He was telling me a story. He got to go to Barcelona, Spain and run with several thousand people and finish like 145th in the world. So I thought, if anybody, God, you want on this mountain, but 4 miles, he grabs this girl, he says, come on. He puts her on his back and piggybacks her 4 miles. He runs. And I said, I'll catch up with you. I got the water. And he runs down this trail I just described. And at each point, hits an area and sits and rests and gets water. He gets up and he runs another little stretch, a few hundred yards, and then another stretch. We get down to about 3 miles, and the cavalry shows up. Others come up the mountain at the 1 mile mark. He carried this girl 3 miles by himself down this mountain. It's hard enough by yourself to walk this mountain. Now imagine, not a rucksack of 70 pounds, not a backpack of 20 pounds, but a young lady in high school, and he's carrying her down this mountain. And I watched that and I thought, God, show me your glory. And he kept showing it over and over and over. We had young men that gave their hearts to the Lord, young ladies that got saved, adults and students that said, this has changed my life. You heard testimonies today. I gave one young man, we went to the airport and we bought a Bible. One young man who gave his heart to the Lord, he said, I don't have a Bible. So we picked up a Bible in Cheyenne, we gave it to him. He says, what do I read? How do you read this? And I opened up to the book of Matthew. I said, why don't you read the book of Matthew? It's the story of Jesus' life. I said, when you get finished with it, you know, after we get back, it's 28 chapters. I said, when we get back, I said, you're done with it. Give me a call and we'll talk about it. 2 days later, he says, I'm done with the book of Matthew. What should I read now? I said, what do you mean? He says, I read it. That's all he could do. He was just loving it, just soaking it in. I talked to Jeff. Jeff, by the way, Jeff, the 23-year-old young man who came to the camp having read and getting into the book, the number one atheist book in the country right now. It's called The God Delusion. If you're reading The God Delusion and you're an atheist, you've pretty much got your heart set that this whole thing is fake. You're like Thomas going, he's dead. He was just a man. And Thomas said, unless I see something that's going to change my mind, unless I put my hands right in his side, I got to see it to believe it. And Thomas saw it. And what did Jeff see? Jeff saw it. Jeff gave his heart to the Lord. He gave his heart to the Lord. He was in my cabin, and we sat around that night, and we just talked, and we talked. And he just said, Pastor, my life is different. I am not the same man. I'm going back to Florida, and I am not the same man. In Rapid City, we put him on an airplane. I drove him over while we were changing flat tires. And he and I just ran him there real quick. And as he was getting out, he gave me the biggest hug and kiss. He says, I love you. Thank you. I said, I love you too, man. Give me a call. When you get back, hey, read the book of Matthew and give me a call. I was still on vacation 2 days later when my phone rang from Florida, and it was Jeff. And he said, hey, who's Mark? And I said, excuse me? What do you mean, who's Mark? He goes, I read the book of Matthew, all of it. I said, you're done? He goes, yeah. I said, not fair. I'm just starting it. I said, you're done with the book of Matthew? He goes, yeah, who's Mark? I go, what do you mean, who's Mark? He goes, yeah, the next book is Mark. And he kind of copied Matthew and he wrote the same stuff. I said, well, Mark is the youngest disciple, and it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's called the Gospel. Those four men wrote the story of Jesus. They were there with him in his ministry, and they wrote his entire ministry from beginning to end. I said, you don't necessarily have to read it. It's not exactly the same, but they were there and they told the story from their sight. Oh, okay. So what do I read next? I go, why don't you read the book of Acts? You can start seeing where the church really got going now that Jesus is resurrected. He goes, that sounds great. I said, call me when you're done with that one. That was just about 5 days ago. I'm waiting for a phone call, and he and I are going to get together in Taco Bell. I said, I'll get together with you. He goes, Taco Bell, you coming to Florida? I said, no. I'll go to Taco Bell. You go to Taco Bell. And we'll talk on the phone. Jeff saw something. You see, you don't go to the mountain and see the glory of God, and you don't come back the same. Some of you have maybe not seen this. Why do we do Wyoming? We could do anywhere. But I'll tell you this. I've never been on that trip, hurt so much, seen so much, and it's one of the most grueling drives just to get there and back. It will challenge your faith. But you know what I found out? It's almost exactly like my Christianity. The drive to get to heaven is so hard, most people never stop and enjoy it. We went to the Badlands. We went off-roading. We saw snakes. We saw eagles on rivers. We saw Mount Rushmore. We saw Wall Drug. We saw mountaintops and we saw valleys. We saw flat tires. We saw grumpy people and we saw happy people. And if that doesn't describe your walk with Jesus Christ, you haven't started on the path yet. People say, I don't like church. People in church, sometimes they get grumpy. Go to Wyoming and get in with 15 teenagers in a 15-passenger van. I don't think I got grumpy. I got tired. But I tried to enjoy the journey because I've learned this. Sometimes we get persecuted in the journey. But you know what? Like we heard Jason say, it's hard climbing. But here, guys, real quick. This is just a one-minute clip. It's worth being at the top of this mountain. Was it able to convert? Okay. This is our group right after I got to the top. This is the these are the Rocky Mountains, by the way. This is 10,400 feet. You're seeing different shots of Montana, Wyoming. And here's the guys who carried me up. That is worth the climb. That's good there. Thank you. What you heard was we had a young man who had a leg brace that had a leg injury, Paul Campo, and that was him right before he took off, made it to the top. Because you know what? It doesn't matter how bad you hurt. You know, if we treated Christianity the way we could treat a mountain, that I'll do whatever it takes to get to the top, I think our Christian faith would be better and the world would see something that's worthwhile. God is wonderful. And we share that with you today. If you haven't seen the glory of God at the top of the mountain, let me remind you of people who have. Elijah. Elijah who got to the top of a mountain, and it only takes one man to bring a fire to a nation. Moses, who saw the glory of God and shine for several days. Peter, James, and John, who saw Jesus transfigured. And a guy by the name of Thomas, who's simply sitting in a room by himself, who had lost his faith, reached out and got a hold of his faith once again. And let me just close with this. These men who were with Jesus, what changed them? Bartholomew, he did missionary work linked with Armenia, northern Iraq, and western Iran. He was skinned alive. His skin was filleted while he was alive. What causes a man to say, I will not deny Jesus Christ? And they're taking the skin literally off of his body. He didn't die, and so they beheaded him because he saw something. He saw Jesus Christ in His glory. Jude, he preached in Egypt. He joined Simon the Zealot, and they were both martyred there. They were both crucified or hacked to death. We're not sure which one. Peter, known as Simon or the Rock, was crucified head down. Andrew was crucified in a spread eagle position. James was stoned to death, and his brains were dashed with a fuller's club, beaten outside of his head. What caused these men to say, I can't deny it? You don't understand. I've seen the glory of God. I cannot be the same man that I used to be. I invite you all to see the glory of God. You can find it. It's real simple. Seek it with all your heart. Walk it day by day. And along the journey, you'll find it. It's not necessarily in the view at the top, but it's along the journey when you find guys like Jeff and Ashley and others who day by day make a difference. We had every moment of every day to find God's glory. You know what we did? We just shut the world out, shut off our iPods, our cell phones, our televisions, and we took time just to seek God each day. And we had a great time doing it. We canoed on rivers and watched bald eagles soar 100 feet over our head. We had chapel service where altars were lined. We had military soldiers coming in from Afghanistan, reuniting with their families, and everybody spent a moment, and that was the glory of God. We climbed mountains, we carried people. We rode together, we shared meals. We saw the glory of God displayed the way the church ought to do it. Church, I invite every one of you, walk the journey, enjoy the journey, and when you see the glory of God, it will change you forever. Let's stand and pray.